We got a couple of things that we wanted to share with you today as we reflect on God's goodness and His power and mercy of all that He's done in our lives. We want to remind you also that there's several things coming up in our church that we need you to be aware of. And one is that we're signing up for Vacation Bible School. When you came in, you noticed that there was a sign up. So we're asking that you stop by and sign up. Our Vacation Bible School is actually going to be taking place June the 20th through the 23rd from 5:30 to 8 p.m. So we're asking that you would sign up because we've got a lot of activities before we order material. We want to make sure that we have sufficient numbers of people signing up for it. And as has been already mentioned, the memorial service for Mr. Colonel Walker, Lee's father, is going to be at the Triumph Baptist Church at 2 p.m. today. And I know that several of us are going to be going down, but we ask that you keep the family in prayer, that the Lord would bless. And also on next Saturday, we're going to be having a movie here at the church called The Grace Card. That's going to be at 3 p.m. on next Saturday. If you can make it, come out, and it'll be in our youth sanctuary. So looking forward to that. And Reverend Ray is in charge of that. And we ask that you would come out and see what The Grace Card is all about. Amen? And then on the fifth Saturday, last Saturday this month, April the 29th, we'll be having the Jason Saunders Car Show. That's going to be on the 29th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So please keep that in mind. I know that we were going to have a workers' meeting today, but we're going to defer that until next Sunday. We will have a meeting right after service to go over the things that we need to do. And lastly, Skylar Anderson, the Lord laid it upon her heart about reaching out to the young adults, and she's going to be having a bonfire. Her and some of her friends are going to be having a bonfire here at the church, kind of like a Christian retreat for young folks, ages 18 to 25. That's going to be on June the 3rd. So keep that in prayer. I'm proud of her, Skylar, for doing that and then laying, the Lord laying that on her heart, that she would be able to reach out to other young people. Amen? Amen? Let's do a little bit of Pass Me Not. How about that? Can we do a little bit of that? Y'all know the song, right? Yes. Pass me not, oh gentle Savior. Won't you now hear my humble cry? What I want the Lord to do, let me at a throne of mercy so that I can find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition. Lord, I need you to help. Are y'all ready to call him? I'm calling, Savior. Oh, blessed Savior. I want you to hear my humble sing. I'm calling, Savior. Oh, blessed Savior. I need you to hear my humble cry. While on others, thou art calling, Savior, do not pass. Have your Bibles, turn with us to 2 Chronicles, Got an unusual sermon that we're going to bring to you today, but I believe that it will help you better understand a little bit more about what God is doing in your life, how God wants to build you up, not break you down. He wants you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and this will be a great chapter for you to read in your background reading. I think after we bring some of the things out, you're going to be really excited about what's in this chapter. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat, which was the king at that time, stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you." Verse 10, "And now see that the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, see what they are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they come to throw us out of your land, which you gave as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do." How many of y'all have been there? "We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." Somebody say, "Lord, help." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We want to just share just a few minutes about powerless people. Powerless people. Father God, we ask that you would bless us now as we've studied. I pray that you would bring forth your word in such a mighty and powerful way that it would not only bless us, God, but teach us, instruct us, build us up where we're broken down, and help us, God, that we would no longer be powerless, but we would fill with your power and with your love. Forgive us, Lord, for all of our sins. Cleanse our hearts and minds and make us ready vessels that we might receive your truth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The verse says, "Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do." But in the King James, it says, "Our eyes are upon you." Powerless people. All of us have been there. All of us have had those moments and may be still going through it where you recognize that what's coming against you is greater than what you are. It could be things that's working in your life and not seeming to work out the way that you pray that it would. Unmet expectations, brokenheartedness, you name it. And all of us have at times have had to face that. That might be what you call being on empty. How many of y'all have been there? You just don't have it. Now, I'm going to use this as an analogy because that's when we need to really check our gauge. Find out what's going on in our life. Find out exactly what we need. It'll help you to direct your prayers. It will help you to focus on the priorities of where God wants you to go from here. I'm going to talk about a new concept called a spiritual dashboard. A spiritual dashboard. And prayerfully, it'll be something that you can look at. As we see what was going on in the life of Jehoshaphat, maybe you can look at where you're going and gauge those things on your dashboard and figure out, okay, what do I need God to do? What are the indicators in my life that I need God's strength and God's grace for me to get from where I am now to where I need to be in my faith and in my life? Now, I'm the type of person, I'm not like my wife. She likes to keep the tank full. Me, right there is probably telling me you can go another 50 miles. How many of y'all do that? So you have to ask yourself, what does it mean when I've got an indicator in my life that says you're almost empty? Certainly Jehoshaphat was at that place where he was saying, God, we looked at our spiritual indicator and we're almost empty. We cannot fight against this army. We don't have the troops. We don't have the courage. But our eyes are upon you. This is a very critical passage. It's in the Old Testament, but it speaks to us in New Testament times how much you need God, how much you have to depend on God's grace. Let me just share a few things that I think is very helpful that for those of you that like to watch the gas needle dance when it's on empty. Let me help you out. Let me give you a little schooling today, because we have these folks called procrastinators, right? They're going to put it off to the last minute, and they say, okay, I'll get to it after a while, but procrastination is dangerous. When you're at this level in your life, you need to find a refill very quickly. The other thing about it is I find that people, they think that because they've got this situation, they're going to react in a way that is inappropriate. Most of us, when we're here, we'll say, okay, you got to find a gas station pretty quick. Here's some assumptions that we assume. The first assumption that we make when the vehicle is on E, you might own the vehicle, but you don't own the refilling station. Gas station doesn't belong to you. It might be closed for all you know. Am I right about it? Second thing that we often think about is that where you run out of gas may not be in a place that's in proximity to the nearest gas station. All right, I'm gonna pick after somebody. How many of y'all carry a gas can in your trunk? Okay, Malcolm, he raised his hand. I'm gonna call him out. But you're assuming that if I run out, I'm gonna find what I need to get a quick refill. And I will tell you, those of you that have lived a couple of years, you know that sometimes that refill can be a distance off. Third assumption that we make is that your vehicle, we don't realize that when your vehicle hits E, there's a point that it's just going to stop. It's going to leave you right there where you are. Let me minister to somebody. You're probably at that phase of your life now where you feel like you're totally on empty. You just don't have the energy to go on. Feel familiar? But guess what? When you know God, you're not empty. You're at a place where you can state your need, make your request known to God, but the Lord who made you is also the God who will fill you so much so that your cup will run over. All of us have been at those moments and those times where we felt like life, we're under attack. The enemy is attacking me for whatever reason, I don't know. Or maybe you might be going through a time of human suffering, pain that you don't know where it came from. You've gone to the doctors and they don't know what's all about. And you're praying, God, I need your strength. I need your help. You're praying to the right source. Jehoshaphat made a powerful confession, and I would say that every one of us in our life at some time or other, we're going to make this confession. Lord, what's coming against me is greater than what I can bear. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's a great place to be in your life when God says, okay, I'm here for you. Let's walk through this. Let's find out some things that we need to pay attention to. And then we're going to look at four elements of what we call our spiritual dashboard. We're going to look at four elements that's important in your life, because believe it or not, you are making a journey in life. When you were born, you started on that journey. You may have gotten off track. You may have turned here, turned there. But you are on a spiritual journey. And guess what? It's not to the graveyard. Your journey is either going to wind you up in heaven or in the place that the Bible calls hell. You don't want to go there. So what you need is some guidance in your life to help you reach that destination, that place where God has planned for you. Do you not know that he's got a mansion built in heaven and he's got a room with your name on it? And if you don't get to that place, it's not God's fault. He's saying, look, I'm making preparation for you. I'm doing these things for you. You've got to make sure that your spiritual dashboard is helping you to reach that place. Next Sunday, we're going to take this a little bit further because we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, how he fills all of those needs. Those four areas that we're going to talk about today, we're going to expand over next week so that we can know a little bit more about where we're going in our life. There are thousands and millions of people on this world that do not realize why they're here. Now, I'd be the first to admit I don't know what's going to happen the next 30 seconds, but I do know I got a purpose for being on this earth. Amen. I've got a reason for being here. I don't need to be ashamed of it. I don't need to be a coward. I don't need to be like this one or that one. I simply need to realize, why did God make me and what did he want me to do? How do I reach that point in my life where I can recognize, God, you led me every step of the way? So we're going to look at four things today. We're going to look at, first of all, we're going to look at Jehoshaphat's confession. Because if you don't tell God what's going on in your life, he already knows. But what that does, it opens the door of your life. It opens you wide open and says, God, here I am. This is all I got. Then the Lord comes in. Now let me just rephrase that. God gives you a choice. Even though there's this thing about God's divine will, he knows everything, he knows what your choice is going to be, the fact is, you don't know what your destination is going to be. Right? So when you make a confession, what you're saying, I choose God's way over my own. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself with that little gas tank walking up the road, a little gas can. Where are you? I'm going to get some fuel. When you could turn it over to God and allow him to refill you right where you are to the point of your need and bring you to the place where you need to be. Throughout the Bible, I read story after story of people who called upon the Lord and not one of them that God let down. And guess what? He's not about to get a bad reputation messing with you. All right? God's going to bless you, but you got to trust him. You got to believe that he is involved in your life, that he is going to reach your need, and he's going to bless you according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So Jehoshaphat made that confession. Jehoshaphat recognized that he was totally helpless. But God was the one that was going to help him. Please understand that. So let's get into these things. We're going to hurry up and talk about it. Number one, you need something to indicate, and in business you call it a risk indicator. You want to know what the risks are. In business, you know, if you go with this new venture, you got to find out what are the risks, what are the resources you have to put up in order to make that venture successful. Risk indicator. You need that in your spiritual life. Why do you need that in your spiritual life? You got a devil called the adversary. He doesn't just want to come and just cause you pain. He wants to totally destroy you if he could. So you need a risk indicator. We're going to talk about that. Second thing you need is a prayer indicator. How much are you praying? Or do you have prayer in your trunk like a spare tire? Okay, I'll just roll out that spare tire when things don't go my way. Okay, let me just jack this car up here. Let me just put on this spare tire. The thing might be flat. for all you know. So we need a prayer. Now, this is going to make sense in a little bit. I'm going to show you, going to walk you through this passage, so how, what Jehoshaphat did, how he responded to his situation. He was a spiritual man. He believed in God. Yes, he was the king of Israel, but he didn't follow the model of some of the kings. Let me just do it my way. I'm the champion here. I'm the boss of my own place. I'm the man of the house. I got it. You ain't got nothing to go. Your world can fall apart in a matter of seconds. All you, look at somebody and tell them, all you need is the right storm. It'll blow your house down. But thank God for his keeping power. So we're going to talk about prayer. The other thing we're going to talk about, I called it practice, but it's really obedience. You need an obedience gate. If God says something to you, why is he speaking? What is he telling you to do? See, a lot of times we think if we pray, then we're relieved of duty. I ain't got to do nothing else. Thank you, God. Lord, go handle it. Jesus is going to work it out. Hold on a minute. Jesus is going to get you involved in the process. Why? Because you're moving on through past the situation. You're moving on with your life. You're asking God to help you to go forward in your faith, because that's how you get strong in the Lord. You don't want to keep being weak. You want to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And then the last one is praise. I'm going to show you how that works. As Jehoshaphat found not only a use and a place, his praise was not responsive like we do. Lord blesses us. And some of y'all think because you win the lottery, but praise God, the Lord bless me. That might be the devil. Come on now. What chapter did the pastor speak today? I'm going to play that number. I'm messing with you. I'm gotcha. But you've got to understand the purpose for praise is really preparation. When you praise God, you automatically elevate. You're being lifted up through the praise that you give to God. Because you're exalting him, God's going to lift you up. He lifts your spirit. He lifts your mind, because now you're not looking at the negativity of the world, but you're looking at what could happen when God takes over. Are y'all ready to walk through this? I'm going to try to do this in 15 minutes. I know, Lee, you've got to recognize your father today, but I'm going to try to do this in 15 minutes. But this is exciting. This is life-changing. Some of you are going to be changed by what you hear today, because God's going to speak to your heart. Not just because I'm here, but because the Lord has a message for you. Y'all ready for this? All right, let's review the threat. Let's look at what threats they were. Now, the question that you need to ask yourself, how did Jehoshaphat know that the enemy was attacking him? Wise kingdoms did not have email. They didn't have electronic means. They couldn't send text messages. But they had these people called messengers. Some of them were called watchmen. And they were strategically placed throughout Israel so that if anything went on, that messenger could relay back to the others, hey, we got a problem. We got a need. Jehoshaphat found out that Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, by the way, Mount Seir, that's another word for Edom, that's another word for Esau, they were the cousins to the Israelites, all right? Sometimes your biggest problem is going to come from your closest Oops. Did I say something bad? Y'all know it's true. Family reunion. Here they come. Oh, you say yourself, oh, Lord, here they come. So all of these kingdoms had mounted an attack against Israel. And Jehoshaphat found out about it because of these messengers. Go back to your risk indicator. You think that life is sweet. It's so good because you balance your checkbook and everything. You don't know that right around the corner, a sickness is about to hit you. Or you don't realize that something is getting ready to happen in your life. And the Holy Spirit, I said I wasn't going to go there the next week. But the Holy Spirit will give you that spiritual warning. I'm going to get into John where it talks about he guides you. But you got something else too. You got this thing called conscience. How many of y'all going down the road in life? Got a tax refund coming back in a couple of days. You're saying to yourself, I'm going to take this tax refund and I'm going to blow it. Then your conscience begins to tell you, not a good idea. Not a good idea. Or either you're getting ready to venture into something that God does not want you to venture into, and the Lord just laid it on your heart. It's called a conviction. Your conscience convicts you. You say to yourself, man, I'll not do this. That's between you and God, right? Then you got faithful friends who see you acting up. That's your risk indicator. Some people don't want folks to tell them what to do. How many of y'all are glad somebody told you what to do? Amen. It's called a risk indicator. Now, let me tell you what Jehoshaphat could have done. He had some options. He could have said, you know what, they're just overreacting. Man, they're just playing it up. It's just a few hundred folks. We're going to wipe them out. He believed the messengers. Let me help some of you all out. You've had your conscience. You had the Holy Spirit. You've had God speaking to you time after time and time again. And the biggest lie you're telling yourself, I got plenty of time. That risk indicator needle is jumping. Look, you better react. People who live their life on high alert, you know what the Bible says? Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You better have your indicator on high. Don't be beating on your dashboard, man. That thing ain't right. You're lying to yourself. And you're going to reap the consequences unless you pay attention. While I go to church, I want to check this risk indicator. I want to make sure that the decisions I'm making are the ones that God's directing me to make. That risk indicator. Now, am I perfect at it? No, but I'm getting better. Look at somebody telling me, I got a whole lot better now. How many of y'all have made so many mistakes because you didn't listen to the risk? You done made so many mistakes. Oh, yeah, Pastor. I know what you're saying. You got to pay attention to it. Now, how does this work with prayer? Second thing that Jehoshaphat did. Notice the Bible says that he prayed. He was terrified by the news that he'd gotten. And so what he did, he not only prayed himself, he got all of Israel to fast and call them together at Jerusalem, said, look, folks, we got a real problem that we're dealing with. Don't be ashamed to ask for prayer. Put your name on the prayer list. Yeah, other folk gonna know. I don't know if I know about my business. They already know. Folks who live in a small town and think folk don't know your business, you waste your time. You might as well go on and tell it yourself. They're going to find out anyway. And you'd much rather they find out from you than through the grapevine. Just thought I'd add that in there. Prayer is the critical part of your life that God begins to bring you into his presence so that you will know and recognize that even though you are weak, he is strong. Prayer is when you get on your knees and say, God, this is as low as I can go. But I know that from here, you can lift my spirit. That prayer gauge of your life should always be on full. That prayer gauge should always be at a place where it's saying, God, I'm talking to you. Even if you don't need him today, just say, Lord, I want to talk to you anyway because you're good, you're merciful, you're kind, you never left me. If I look back over my life, I see how far you brought me from. I see where you're taking me through. Even though everything is all right, I'm still going to pray. I'm going to call upon your name because I love you with all of my heart, mind, and soul. You need that prayer indicator. As you're journeying through life, don't assume that because you had a happy moment, that means automatically a happy life. The old folks would tell you life's going to have some ups and downs. Amen. Jehoshaphat prayed, and right now the kingdom of Judah was in jeopardy. If he did not get the answer that he needed, that kingdom would be destroyed. Let me tell you something. God will never jeopardize his promise, because if he made a promise, the Lord is going to fulfill it. Here's the reason why. He said, heaven and earth, didn't he say it? Shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. As a matter of fact, he included the abbreviation. He included the jot and the tittle, which were small elements in the Hebrew language. He said, even if one of those pass away, amen, heaven and earth would pass away. I'm going to keep my word. When God speaks to you, he's making a promise. When you read the 23rd Psalm, you're reading a promise. When you look into John and you say, well, the Lord's prepared a place for me, you're looking at a promise. God's going to keep his promise. But what reminds you of the promise is when you get on your knees and pray. Now, let me tell you what people do a lot of times. They pray negatively. What do I mean by negatively? You pray by worrying. What am I going to do about this? You don't realize you're praying, but you're praying to nobody. When you start saying, not what am I going to do about this, but when you start pointing to the situation, thank you, Lord, and you start saying, God, what are you going to do about it? Notice what Jehoshaphat prayed. He said, oh, Lord, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do. He's saying, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to surrender my... And would some of y'all do that right now? Would you lay down that burden that you've been carrying and say, Lord, this thing is too heavy. This need is too great. This storm is too dark. I'm depending on you to take my burden. Here's what's going to happen. The Lord is saying, I got your burden, but I still need you to walk with me. Amen. Oh, I wish I had some witnesses in here today. All right, so we're checking the gauge. We know the risk. We know the risks are high, but we also know that our prayer is working. The only prayer that can't work is the one that you don't pray. Some of y'all didn't hear that. Your prayers won't work unless you pray. But notice what Jehoshaphat did. Third thing, almost done. Getting ready to go to my seat. I'm excited about this because I'm looking at my spiritual dashboard. I wish somebody had told me this. See, I'm very graphic when I have to explain that. I have to see it. So the Holy Spirit said to me, you need a risk indicator in your life. You need something that warns you against danger. You need to have a prayer monitor in your life. How many times a day do you pray? Let me give you a good rule of thumb. You need to at least pray 1 hour. Why? I'm getting that from John, where Jesus said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, couldn't you pray with me at least 1 hour? Some of y'all pray all the time. Some of y'all senior citizens, you pray more than all the time. You get up, Lord, help me, Jesus. And sitting for a while, oh, God, I need you. Oh, Lord, help me. Yeah, you pray. But now prayer has to have some company. Right next to the prayer indicator, you need a practice indicator. How much am I obeying God in my life? Am I obedient to him? As I said earlier, prayer does not relieve you of duty. When God speaks to you, he wants to include you in his plan that he has. Let me run the whole scenario down to you again. An attacking army from Moab, from Ammon, and from Mount Seir, they're coming. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of troops, they're coming against Israel, and they're going to destroy them. How do we know that threat? Because the Bible said the messengers brought it to them. Instantly, not the next day, instantly, Jehoshaphat began to pray because he said, unless I have prayer on high, I'm going to lose this battle. When you go to the doctor, you're going to lose that battle unless you hand it over to Jesus. When you're facing that financial need and the bank going to turn you down on that loan that you're applying for, unless you pray over it. But when you pray over it and say, Lord, it's in your hand, then God said, I got it from here. You've surrendered everything into my hand. But now the Lord did not exclude them while they were praying. Confirmation of their prayer came to one of the priests, and he got up and said, Jehoshaphat, don't worry about this. I'm going to lead you to victory. I'm going to show you the way. And don't be fearful of this troop. Now, what was God doing? God was not only looking at the state of Israel then, but he was looking at the state of Israel into the future. There is a future for you. That's why you're still here on this earth. If the devil could have done it, he would have taken you out a long time ago. I wish somebody would raise their hand and say, but I'm still here. But I'm still here. Doubts had me. Fear had me. But I'm still here. And I'm here in Jesus' name. God is looking at your future. He's looking at where you're going. So keep that dashboard in place. What did the Lord tell him? Now, I want you to go out there tomorrow. I want you to face that troop. But then he told them, you won't have to fight. And he told them why you won't have to fight. The battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. Repeat after me, the battle is not mine, but it is the Lord. How many of y'all ever watched tag team wrestling? I know some of y'all are too. But my favorite part of tag team wrestling is when that one that's in the ring, he's so tired. He's so worn out, and the opponent has worn him down. But he reaches, and he tags his teammate. And now they get into the ring. When you pray, you're tagging Jesus. You're saying, Lord, fight my battle. Lord, make a way out. Lord, help me. Lord, keep me. Lord, bless me. I wish you'd tag Jesus today. I wish you'd tag him and say, Lord, come on, help me. I'm weak, but thou art strong. All right, wait a minute. I'm not done yet. Thomas, tell him I'm not done yet. I got a little bit more to tell him. Now, Israel could have gotten back and said, okay, God's going to take care of our enemy. Let's just kick back, get some lemonade. That was not what God told him to do. God did not tell you sit down after you prayed. You stand up. You understand that you got work to do. You got things that God has assigned for you to do. If nothing else, he wants you to give a testimony. All right, so watch this. Jehoshaphat said, now, God's doing all this for us. What are we going to give back to him? Let's move to this praise indicator. Nobody told him that he had to do this. All the Lord said, go out there. But he said, now, if God's got it, and all we need to do is go out there, why don't we thank him in advance? So what he did was strategically disastrous for an army to do unless you know that God's got it. Instead of him having the troops to march out with the swords and with the shield, he got the praise band in place. He got the worshipers in place, the singers in place. put them in front of the army. If you know God's got it, why are you still trying to work it out? Instead of putting your hands on it, lift your hands up and say, God, I thank you that it's in your hands. Here's what happens. The Bible is verse. That's why I got to tell you, you got to go back. I'm getting so excited. I'm speaking Ebonics, but I'm telling this thing is awesome. Watch this. When they got out to the battle, as a matter of fact, when they started praising God and saying this, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, his mercy endures forever. The moment they started praising God, the Lord ambushed the enemy. We're used to giving God praise in church, all right? You're used to saying, praise the Lord, his mercy. Do what you need to do is praise him in front of your enemies. Because when you praise him in front of your enemies, God's going to confuse your enemy. They're thinking they're going to destroy you, but they don't see that God's got you. The Lord not only has your back, he's got your front, he's got your over top. Nothing can overtake you because you're in God's hands. When they started singing praise, here they come, just praise ye the Lord, his mercy endures forever. When they got out to the battlefield, the enemy got so confused, they didn't know what to do. They started fighting each other. The folks from Ammon started fighting the folks from Moab, and both of them ganged up on Mount Seir. Next thing you know, the enemy is fighting himself. And what I'm telling you, if you got a praise in your heart, you'll confuse the enemy every time, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Give him praise. Give him thanks, because he is good. I close by telling you, yes, I got many threats in life, but I got God. And every time a threat comes up, it puts me in high alert that I need to pray. And when I pray, I need to stand still and allow God to tell me what to do. And once God tells me what to do, I'm going to keep on walking in Jesus' name. I'm going to honor him because he didn't bring me this far to lead me now. Look at somebody, tell him, he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am. Oh, I think y'all got it. Y'all got it. You got it. You got it. You got it. You got it. He's going to keep his promise. He's going to keep his promise. You're not going to live this life without threats. But if you do, look at your spiritual dashboard. And then ask God, Lord, this is running high in my life. Help me to get through it. And he will do just that. As we pray today, I want you to ask the Lord. You don't have to go through all of this fancy description of it. Sometimes you can just pray and know that he'll work it out. Amen? Father, I ask that you'd bless now, as only you can do. Lord, there might be someone online or in here that you really spoke to their heart today. And Lord, I tried to do my best in sharing it, but what I didn't say, you speak through your Holy Spirit. I've given them the word, where to go to get the word, and all they've got to do is believe the word, and you'll make a way. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give the invitation. If there be one, we invite you to come.